Accession number 19102, Reel 1.
Eric Bouch, Reel 1. Where were you born, please?
Wisbeach, in Cambridgeshire.
Which year was this?
1921.
Did you grow up and have your schooling in Wisbeach?
Yes.
Which school did you go to?
Ramnath Road School.
How old were you when you left there?
14.
So that would have been in 35.
Yes.
Did you get a job?
Yes.
Doing what?
First job was in greenhouse work with Prins and Co.
And is that what you were doing when war was declared?
No. I left the greenhouse work and went into pork butchering with G.W. Franks of Wisbeach.
Did you join the TA pre-war?
Yes.
Can you tell me about that, please?
I went into town to meet my friends and mates, and when I got to the town, there was nobody about. I went back home to a friend's house, and his name was Green. His mother told me he'd gone to join the Territorials. I immediately went up to the drill hall and did the same and joined the Territorial.
Why did you want to join the TA?
I don't think I can answer that. I think being as my friends had joined, I had got to do the same.
Do you know the date that you joined about?
No, I can't remember the actual day.
Or the month and year?
Well, I must have been in my 17th year, because when they asked me my age, the recruiting sergeant said, well, I'm sorry, but you can't join. You must get your parents' permission. So I immediately went home, asked my mother and father if they would sign the paper, and they both refused. So I signed it and took it back and joined.
Why did they refuse?
I feel that they refused because my elder brother had already joined and they didn't want me to join.
It sounds as though it was late in 38 that you joined then.
Yes, yes.
Maybe just after the Munich crisis.
Yes, that would be about the time.
Had the Munich crisis made any impact on you?
No, I don't think so. At that age, I think we were just growing up and not really thinking about war or anything like that. In those days, I don't think we really knew much about politicians, war and what have you. So I don't think this ever affected us.
Which unit of the TA did you join?
Which
unit of the TA did you join?
Well, we joined the 2nd Cambridgeshire Territorials, and at that time it was known as C Company. But as time went on, when we were called up, the chappies in my age group were separated from the older territorials, and we became headquarter company of the 2nd Cambridgeshire Regiment.
What kind of training did you have with them pre-war?
Well, the usual drill, marching, rifle drill, talks on war, fear and one thing or another. Eventually, we were all paraded at the Mills' Brewery, and we became the signal platoon. When I say we, there'd be about 40 men just separated from the remainder of the group, and we were told we would then be signallers, and we remained signallers all the time.
What kind of signals training did you have?
Well, we had Morse code, flag waving, wireless work, dispatch riding, line laying, anything to do with communications, we did all of it.
Was there anything difficult about it?
Any difficulties? No, I don't think so.
What kind of people were in this unit?
Well, a lot of these people that were in this particular platoon were all school friends, and a lot of them were from my own class. And we all sort of left school together.
At what stage did you realise a war was coming?
Well, they went to camp down at Dibgut near Folkestone, and we were given intensive training down there, and we then were told that war was possible at that time. I can't quite remember the date we went down there.
Perhaps the summer of 39?
It must have been during the summertime of 39, just before the war started.
Did you hear Neville Chamberlain declare war on Germany?
No. We had been called up a few days before it was announced, and I was, at that time, when the war was actually declared, I was on guard at one of the office places in the Old Market in Wisbech.
How did you feel about the news of the declaration of war?
How did we feel at that time? Thinking back, I don't think it really hit us that we were at war. As I've always said, from the time we got home, I did 7 years in the army, and the first 3.5 years, as I said, we played soldiers, and we had a good time during our training and various aspects of the 3.5 years. And then eventually, when we did become real soldiers, we were good soldiers for about 1 month, and then of course we were taken prisoners. So what else can I say about that side of things?
So you were posted on guard in Wisbech Market, you said, on the 3rd of September 1939.
That's right, yes.
Where did you go to after this?
Where did we go to?
Yes.
Well, we remained in Wisbech here and started training. We had a sergeant, Hardwick, his name. He came from Cambridge, and a Corporal Burgess, and they started to train us. But after a few weeks, we had a replacement sergeant by the name of Smith from the Suffolk Regiment, and a Corporal Kingfisher and a Corporal Mallet. Now, they were regular soldiers from the Suffolk Regiment, and they took over and continued our training here in Wisbech. From Wisbech, we went to Melton Constable. We continued training there and was there a few weeks, and we moved up to Holt. This is all in Norfolk. We were in Holt a few months. Then we went to Stiffkey Camp on the coast. From there, we went to Sheringham. I was then posted to C Company with Private Jeffries, and we remained with C Company telephone communications for the remainder of the time we were in Norfolk. We spent a time in Salthouse. And then we moved to Houghton Hall near King's Lynn, and we did continued training there. and we finally took our tests at Houghton Hall. A number of the platoon failed in their tests. Most of us, percentage-wise, there was 80%. I got to 95%, and one man got 100%, whose name was Leonard Pye. He was the only one that got the 100%. After that, we then moved up to Scotland.
When you were in North Norfolk, did you think the Germans would invade?
Well, we were prepared to accept that they could possibly invade, and we were on the coast at Salthouse, right on the very water's edge for, I couldn't remember how many weeks now, but quite a while. We did have a few planes and bombs dropped in the area, but very, very few. And then eventually we were relieved by another battalion, Norfolk's, I believe. Then we went back to, as I said, Houghton Hall and continued training there. And the invasion scare sort of dropped off a bit.
Was the battalion fully equipped when it was on coastal defence?
Well, no, not really. The rifles we had were, if I remember rightly, were called P-14s, and I believe they were Canadian rifles. They were not particularly good. We hadn't been issued with the Lee Enfield at that time. We did eventually get the Lee Enfields. And transport, well, the lorries and the transport that we had were just bits and pieces from here, there and everywhere. Any sort of lorry we had within the transport section.
What was morale like in the battalion at that time?
Morale was very high. A lot of these chappies treated it as a joke. They were as though they were on holiday all the time.
Even after Dunkirk?
Yes, even after Dunkirk. We all always seem to be enjoying ourselves, regardless of the training and what we had to do, even if we went out on manoeuvres and what they called the warfare schemes. We always seem to be happy bunch. Never know, there was the occasional moaner, groaner, what have you, but not many. Everybody seemed to enjoy themselves. The morale was terrific.
Do you have any specific memories of that bombing you mentioned?
Not really, no. It was way up the coast from where we were, but I remember one German plane came down in the sea near us, and I can't remember whether they... I think the German got killed, but they did find his body later in the water.
How did you get on with the local population in North Norfolk?
Oh, very well. Very well indeed. The Norfolk people were quite nice. I never had any... there was no... we don't want soldiers here or anything like that. They were all very nice.
Was there any misbehaviour by the soldiers?
Any?
Misbehaviour by the soldiers?
Not really. There might have been one or two odd occasions of drunkenness, but not very often. No, the lads and the boys that were in those days were very good indeed.
Were any of you discontented with the fact that you weren't doing any fighting? Or were you glad?
No, I don't think so. That aspect of the being... No, nobody was worried about fighting or anything at the time. We wasn't... discontented because we weren't fighting. No, there's no other answer to that. We wasn't discontented, no.
About how long were you in North Norfolk?
Well, 1939... 40... I think 12, 15 months.
So from 39 into 41?
No, yes, to the end of 40, I should think.
You said you moved up to Scotland.
Yes, we moved up to Scotland. We were up there, 6 months. I can't remember these times and dates now.
What were you doing in Scotland?
Mostly we were doing manoeuvres in and around the different areas of Scotland. War manoeuvres and war games, if you like to call it. I think that's what they call it in this day and age, war games.
Which places were you at?
Which?
Places were you at?
Dumfries. We did a scheme near Glasgow and Edinburgh. And then, of course, further north. And the actual towns and villages that we went through and did these manoeuvres, I can't remember the names.
And how did you get on with the locals there?
Oh, okay, the Scotch were very, very good. Very good people. You couldn't fault them at all. They're very helpful. We did our training in the cellars of Woolworth's shop, right in the middle of Dumfries. And when we had our 11s, as we called it in those days, and a break, we used to go to a Mother Mackay in her little restaurant. And I can remember there we used to have scones and a cup of tea, if we could afford it. You didn't go every day because you hadn't got the money to spend. Because you only got, what, 7 shillings a week. That went a long, long way, but we had to be extremely careful with our monies.
Any other memories from being in Scotland?
Memories of Scotland. Yes, when I think, we went out to a castle. We had a gang of five. I don't know whether Mr. Bennington told you this. Did he tell you we had a gang of five?
Can't recollect offhand.
No. Well, there was five of us. We all joined here in Wisbeach. And we remained friends right through till the end of the war. We lost two. But the five of us went in Scotland. We went and we sat on a wall. And somebody came along with a camera. And we sat there and he took a photograph of it. And I've got this photograph now upstairs in my album. And we went to this castle. And the history of it, I can't really remember now. But it was a very, very interesting trip. And that's the sort of things we used to do. We would occasionally go to the pictures in Dumfries. But other than that, you know, mostly it was training. Or guards, doing guard duties. We used to get guards quite often, but it was a nice time in Scotland.
And then?
Well, then we moved to Crewe Hall. That would be, about 3 miles from Crewe itself. And we were actually, the signal platoon was actually in the big long room at the back of this magnificent mansion, hall, whatever you like to call it. And below us was the chapel. And this was all private stuff. And the rest of the companies were billeted in huts in and around the park at Crewe. And that's where, at that time, we had an intake of personnel to train as extra communication signalers. Now, after a period of time, they took tests. We had already become signalers. They took tests, and certain numbers of them were sent back to their companies because they couldn't make the grade. And the few that was kept with us then joined the platoon, and we became, I should imagine, about 50 in the platoon.
And then?
Well, we still continued doing certain amount of training and a few manoeuvres here and there. And I believe one of the companies went up to Liverpool when Liverpool was badly bombed to help up in Liverpool after one of the air raids there. We also, Jack Griggs and myself, we were on telephone duties quite a lot, from the main telephone to all the companies and the outside world. When we were off duty, we used to do a lot of swimming, and we used to go up to crew baths, swim there, and then after we'd have a swim, we would probably go and have anything in a cafe or a pub and have a drink, and then we would eventually go back to crew hall. On the way back to the hall, we used to call in at the crew station and have egg and chips, if we could afford it, and then we would walk back the 3 mile to the crew hall. And then, of course, after we finished the crew hall, we were then put on the boat, the SS Sobieski, a Polish boat, and went across the Atlantic to Halifax. On the way across, the ship, boat, whatever you could call it, tramp steamer, it broke down, and we were very, very nervous about this because we wondered whether at any time the German submarines would come along and, you know, blow us out of the water. But we were in the convoy that was going across. Of course, we got left behind. But eventually, we did catch up the convoy when they repaired whatever troubles on the ship, and we got to Nova Scotia.
What were conditions like in the ship?
Well, we were crowded a little bit, but we were allowed to go up on the decks, you know, and we did training, like Morse code, flag wagging and things like that whilst we were going over. I got put into the cookhouse duties for a few days, and other than that, nothing else at all going across the Atlantic.
And did you go ashore in Halifax, Nova Scotia?
No, the only thing we did, we got straight off the Sobieski and went on to the American ship called the Mount Vernon. The Mount Vernon was one of the big liners of the American people, and there was also West Point and the Washington. If that are the three, I'm not sure whether Washington was right. But the whole of the 53rd Brigade of the 18th Div was crowded onto this American ship called the Mount Vernon. We then sailed down to, what's the name of the place?
In West Africa?
Pardon?
In West Africa?
No, South America. We sold down the American coast to the top of South America. We stopped there and picked up stores.
In Brazil?
No, not Brazil. The English
Trinidad,
that's it. I'm sure it's Trinidad. We stopped there for a few hours, picked up water and stores. Then we continued sailing down south, down by the South American coast. I think we would then come across the South Atlantic to Cape Town. We landed at Cape Town, and on entering Cape Town Harbour, we all were amazed at the lights that were shining, and it looked absolutely marvellous. It was something that sticks in your mind, those lights. We went ashore on one occasion and paraded through Cape Town, and that was the last time we really had a parade of the battalion. The whole battalion paraded through Cape Town. We were allowed ashore and went into Cape Town on two or three occasions for the few days we were there. And the people of Cape Town really went to town and looked after us extremely well. Our little gang, we went out to a place called Lion's Head and a place called Musenberg, which we found was most beautiful. The sand was like very, very fine sand, and the sea was warm. We had a swim, and then we came back into Cape Town and then went back onto the boat. And then we sailed again, and as far as we knew, we were going to Bombay. We nearly got to Bombay, and the ship was turned around, the Mount Vernon on its own, and we sailed into Mombasa. And that was Christmas 1941. We had Christmas Day in Mombasa. And the Christmas lunch was a fiasco. The turkeys were taken out of the freezer rooms, and they were found to be tainted or off. So we finished up having corned beef. Whilst we were there, we were taken to a beach further up the coast for swimming. And of course, we also went into Mombasa itself. And that was our first contact with the various types of people that we were to meet in those sorts of circumstances. The people were all right, but you had to watch them because they would pinch anything off you that they could. You'd got to be very careful that you didn't get with the wrong type of people. Some of the lads went out to the sex hostels. We avoided them because we'd been warned about them. So we didn't think a great deal of Mombasa. Anyway, we eventually got back on the boat and off we sailed to the Maldives. At the Maldives, we picked up water. And then we sailed down the Malacca Straits to Singapore. And when we entered Singapore, of course, it was pouring with rain, and it was a real monsoon downpour. We disembarked.